Let me pull up my.
Great. Welcome to the Women in STEM podcast. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Sure. My name is Casey Zates, and I work for M&S Consulting. And my role is Director of Agile Project Management and Organizational Transformation.
Casey, can you share a bit of your career journey and what's inspired you to pursue your current career path?
I started in the world of telecommunications, and I was on the service delivery side, the sales side, and but my day in and day out, I was always using applications, right, for the sales team or service delivery. And I was kind of always pinpointing there's always a better way to do something from a process perspective. And from there, I quickly found that there were roles within the IT organization around business analysis that really lend to my strengths of process improvement. And so I kind of raised my hand and kept in contact with some of the leadership over on the IT side, and then eventually became a business analyst. And from there, I found a master's program at Queen's University of Charlotte in North Carolina that was in the business school that focused on organizational development. So, process improvement and consulting. And I found that I had that passion for not just the process improvement side, but the project management side of things and change management. And so I took my master's degree and all those things and kind of coupled it into organizational transformation for technology. And that's where, my role is really to focus on not just the technology transformation side, but the people and the process side of change management. And really, that's been my journey throughout my career, and my passion. So, making sure that I stay with, stay or focus on roles that, are really geared towards my passions.
And what is a common misconception around change management? I'm sure not a lot of people might have heard of that terminology before.
Yeah, I think there's different aspects of change management. There's the technology side of change management, which from a developer perspective, they're managing code and what sometimes we call DevOps or development operations. So then there's the two other aspects that I think a lot of people maybe not overlook, but they don't put as much emphasis on is the process change management. How are we going from, current state to a future state or point A to point Z? And then what I find is most important for all of that is the people side of change management. And how are we communicating with those who are going to be impacted by this technology change? How are we preparing them? How are we looking to increase adoption across the organization with this big technology change? And for some people, change is very difficult. And so if you're not managing that and preparing them, getting them trained up or upskilled, as we like to call it, you could have the best, most flashy system, or application that you're putting in front of people, but if they're not prepared, it could be wildly unsuccessful. And user adoption is very low. So that's where I really feel that it's the technology, then the process, and most importantly, the people side of change management.
With regards to your career path and all that you've learned and experienced, have you ever had a mentor, and how did having a mentor play into your career?
Absolutely. And I've had several mentors over the years. And I think that you need to look, or at least what I did, I looked for somebody who I highly respected, somebody who was in a position that eventually I wanted to be in. And so I would meet with them regularly, not just to hopefully eventually work for them, but what are the things that I need to do to improve as a professional? But the one thing I'll also say is that there isn't just one type of mentor, right? There's a professional mentor, sometimes there's personal mentors. And I really looked for somebody who I admired, and she happened to be a female. She was a female professional who also had a family, which, eventually I came to have my own family. And how do you juggle those things? But you also need to have allies. I had a couple male mentors as well, and I think that in the world of technology, especially women in technology, it's so critical to not only have a female mentor, but also male mentors or allies who can help you navigate from a male's lens or perspective.
And can you mention some of the challenges that you faced as a woman in a predominantly male field, and how did your mentor help you navigate that?
Yeah. I mean, I've come across several. One in particular was a CIO, and he believed that the women on his team were good for taking notes, very administrative type tasks. And my mentor, her advice was to keep shining, keep doing the things that you're doing, because it's being noticed and recognized by other leaders within the organization. And that's really important, is to not have someone dim your light, because it's not worth it. And I think that over the course of my career, I've come across several people who have been like that. And sometimes it takes more courage to walk away, especially if it's more of like a toxic environment. And you need to feel valued, and you need to be recognized for the hard work that you're doing. And if that's not happening, then it takes a lot of courage to walk away. And I did that in one particular case. And it was after a lot of discussion with my mentor, and trying to make the best of it, trying to work through it. And then through conversations and advice, it was, you know what? It's time to move on.
Sorry. What advice do you have for women who are wanting to enter into the STEM field with regards to finding a mentor and how they can go about establishing that relationship?
Yeah, I mean, you're never too young to have a mentor. I wish I had one even earlier in my life. I could almost argue that my mom was probably my first mentor, right? But aside from that, for the younger girls looking to get into STEM, the school age girls, I recommend getting involved with STEM clubs or STEM organizations. And through those organizations, you're going to run across other women who are passionate about helping our next generation of women in STEM. And it's so important to get involved in these organizations within your community, because that's really how we lift each other up, right? You need a network. And I've always found that no matter how strong you are, you can never do things alone. You need a network and a village to help you. So getting involved at a young age with STEM programs or STEM outreach, and even if you don't have the means to do that, there's also online communities too. And so trying to recognize and identify somebody who you look up to in those organizations. And I would say once you get into the professional environment, it's trying to look for somebody within your organization who you look up to, who you respect. Maybe it's somebody in a role that you would like to have one day. And it's sometimes it's just getting the courage to ask them, would you be my mentor? It's as simple as that. And I have yet to come across a woman who would say no. So for the younger generation, getting involved in organizations in the community. And then for those in the professional world, it's finding somebody within your organization who you look up to and asking them to be your mentor. And I would also say that within, even as, somebody in the professional world, out of school, look for organizations or nonprofits in your community that you can get involved in. And surely you're going to come across other women in the industry who could potentially be a mentor as well. And who knows, you may stumble across somebody who would like you to be their mentor as well.
And with regards to mentor, mentee, there oftentimes tend to be an imbalance of a lot of people wanting mentors. But what would you say are the actual benefits for the mentor, mentoring a mentee?
I have a couple of mentees, and for me, it's so rewarding to see them succeed. It's very rewarding to take the things that I've learned, the things that I've done well, the things that I haven't done well, and learn from, and talk about my experiences with them. I would also say that it's the responsibility of the mentor to help instill confidence in the mentee. And I think for me, that's one of the most rewarding things is to see their light shine even brighter and brighter as they continue down their journey. And just to know that you had just a smidgen of influence maybe on them. That's the most rewarding thing from a mentor's perspective.
And what advice would you give to somebody who wants to become a mentor, somebody who wants to, add value to their community and they want to know how they can support their mentees effectively?
Yeah, I think that again, getting involved in nonprofit organizations within your community is first and foremost. A lot of these organizations are going to be supporting areas of the community that may need the support. Maybe they don't have STEM programs within their schools, or they don't have the resources at home. So, getting involved in those local STEM outreach programs is probably the first thing I would look to do. I would also look at your local schools and see what STEM programs they have and if there's opportunity to get involved. Sometimes it's as easy as, hey, do you ever have like a career day where somebody comes in and talks about what they do for a living, and maybe there's one girl who wants to be an astronaut or who wants to be a biologist and or a fighter jet pilot. Well, there's a lot of engineering or science classes they have to take, and a lot of times all they see are men portrayed in textbooks or articles. So going into the local schools and talking about your career path, the things that you did to get there, that's one way that maybe somebody in the school will say, hey, I'd really love for her to be my mentor.
How can organizations foster a culture of mentorship and supporting women in STEM? What practices have you seen in your workplace that has worked well in your career?
Yeah, I think organizations need to partner with their, not just their local schools, but they also need to partner with organizations, companies in their area, companies who have a STEM focus, and partner with them in such a way of having their employees come and be resources for the STEM outreach program. Like I mentioned before, nobody can do it alone. And so it's so important for these organizations within the community who are supporting STEM and girls in STEM to partner with local businesses so that they can benefit from their resources. You know, a lot of these STEM outreach programs are nonprofits, right? So time and money are so important. They're critical to their survival. And some businesses may be able to give both, and some businesses in the community can only give their time, but their time is so valuable. So I would highly suggest that organizations partner with their local businesses.
As someone with an extensive experience across diverse industries, what trends do you see emerging in the future that could impact women in STEM?
I think that there is a, I believe that there's trends with more women getting, more girls getting interested in STEM at a younger age and staying in STEM. But I will also say that we have a long way to go. I think that we're doing a better job at getting our younger generation interested in STEM and letting them know that yes, they can do it and giving them examples of other women. But we also need to have our male allies also contribute. And I see a little bit more of that over maybe the last 5 years. And I'm hoping that continues to trend upwards. Because again, women can't do it alone. And that lens, that perception needs to also shift to celebrate and support women rising up within leadership roles in STEM positions. And so I think that trending wise, it's very encouraging to see more women stay in those leadership roles. But we also need to bring in our male counterparts and to have them continue to support us and show this younger generation that there is success in these roles and there is a future in leadership roles in STEM. And that will keep their interest, that will keep them confident that they can do it.
Looking back on your career, what are your most proud moments, and how do you hope to inspire the next generation of women in STEM?
I think some of my proud, you know, I've had leadership success, you know, getting my first management role and having direct reports. And I didn't look at it like I was a manager. I looked at it like I was a leader, I was a coach. And it gave me an opportunity to coach a team to build them up to be successful. And I think what's really important too is to build a team that is smarter than you because you're looking for your next successor. You're looking for somebody to replace you so you can continue to move up. But I would say, yeah, so my first leadership role was probably one of my, you know, biggest, ac bigger accomplishments. But most recently, actually, I have a mentee who very unintentionally became my mentee. And She sent me an email the other day that she started her first LLC and she's starting her first e-gaming development company, and she's 13. And in her note back, she said it was because I inspired her to go for it. And I inspired her to take her passions, which she is phenomenally creative artistically and from a technical perspective too, and combining those two things to go off and create her first LLC. I was just so incredibly proud of her. And for her to just take one moment and say thank you to me was probably the biggest accomplishment that I can say as a mentee.
How best can people connect with you?
I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably the easiest way to start the conversation. And please do share my LinkedIn contact information. But I think that's probably the easiest and best way to connect after this podcast.
Great. Thank you so much for coming on the Women in STEM podcast.
Well, thank you so much, Kelly, for having me.